I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Welcome into the Sleepwire Great Debate Show, guys, where we do a quick debate style argument between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, and I want to welcome you to the last Great Debate of 2020. And it is my absolute pleasure to have Dirty Jobs Mike on the last Great Debate of this season. Mike, how's it going, man?
Not too bad. I really like our tradition of starting them out and ending them out. I know you had a lot of guests throughout the season, so I didn't get a whole lot of chances to hop in there, but... Definitely excited to be on it again, man. I love the Great Debates.
And you know what? That was intentional. Nobody from Sleeper Wire was on the Great Debate this entire season. So I tried to get all guests, and I was able to do it.
Nice. That's awesome. And I mean, what's different? Like, all those damn guys not answering that thread? Jeez. It's embarrassing, Chris. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. It is what it is, though.
Amen.
It is what it is.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, everybody, here's how the show goes. We each have a player that we are arguing for. We get 2 minutes to argue for our player, 90 seconds for a rebuttal, and then we're going to flip, and then we finish it up with final thoughts. And we are wrapping up the season talking about Nelson Aguilar and Tim Patrick. So two guys who I don't know if we thought we were going to mention before the season coming in. I've got Aguilar, and Mike, you have Patrick, and I'm going to kick us off here if that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
So not one time this offseason did I think I would be arguing for Nelson Aguilar. Not one time. However, as this season has gone on, there have been a couple of times where I brought up Aguilar with previous guests when we were, you know, like DMing before Monday night, deciding on which players to talk about, and it just didn't work out. We're talking about two guys who I've actually been wanting to debate for a few weeks now, both Aguilar and Patrick. And so let me get into Nelson Aguilar. When looking at the Las Vegas Raiders, the first thing you notice is how Darren Waller is the clear number one option for Derek Carr in the receiving game. He has more than twice as many targets as the next player. However, he's not leading the team in touchdowns. That honor belongs to Nelson Aguilar with 6 on the season. And this week, he had 6 catches on 9 targets for 88 yards and a touchdown. And this was actually the second time he's had 9 targets in a game this season. And the last time he did it, it was 5 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. He's scored in 6 of the 10 games this season, so more than half the games he's given you a touchdown. He's a guy who is game flow dependent, though. I will give you that. But however, when the Raiders need to pass a lot due to being down, it seems like Nelson Aguilar scores. In the 5 games that they were getting blown out, or games that were high scoring, it's happened 5 of the last 7 games, he gets into the end zone. And the 2 games he didn't in the last 7 were a 16-6 game in Cleveland, and then week 10 when the Raiders just absolutely destroyed the Broncos 37-12. And honestly, they just didn't need to throw the ball. They were doing fine with Devontae Booker and Josh Jacobs. This week, the Raiders are traveling to Atlanta. The Raiders defense has been giving up a lot of points on the season, 24 or more points in 8 of their 10 games. And the Falcons are a great offense when they're at home and firing on all cylinders. Expect Derek Carr to have to throw a lot in this game to keep up. All right, let's move to that rebuttal. Mike, take it away.
Okay, so... with you 100,000,000% that I cannot believe we are sitting here debating over whether Nelson Aguilar should be on a football team or even on your fantasy team. Like, I mean, I could see why we were talking about him not being on a team. But anyways, I digress. I feel like you only like Nelson Aguilar because he gets in the touchdown. I mean, outside of that, the guy's only had 24 catches this whole entire season. I watched him last week, right? This guy is doing the same thing Aguilar is known for, and that is dropping the ball. His catch percentage is is fairly atrocious, although it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. His drop rate is a lot lower than I thought, too. But then that also makes me wonder what qualifies as a drop, because there was two passes that I saw last week in particular that Carr put those balls on a dime. And all that Aguilar had to do is just scoop him out of the air. And in classic fashion, this guy is dropping him. So I saw that happening. When you start looking at his numbers at the beginning of the season, he was lights out. He was catching everything. Second half of the season, not so much. This guy is dropping the ball a lot. Now we can just get into targets, right? This guy isn't getting very many targets per game. He has had two games where he's had nine targets, but outside of that, he hasn't had over four. And so with that, I mean, you just said it yourself. They pass to him when they're down. The Raiders are a very, very good balanced football team this year. There's not going to be a whole lot of situations where they find themselves down, and therefore you're not going to really see a whole lot of usage from Nelson Aguilar.
Let's move to Tim Patrick. Mike, it's all you.
Okay, now Tim Patrick, I could just end this debate right now, right? I'm just going to say one thing, and that's he's a Bronco. And that should end it right there. I mean, we're talking about a Bronco versus a I can't talk about it like that because the Broncos suck this year. we've got Tim Patrick. He's in his third year. You know, this isn't exactly a big breakout season for him. And really, I mean, he's only a victim of opportunity right here with Cortland Sutton being out. You got KJ Hamler ahead of him and you got Judy ahead of him. So, I mean, the fact that he's even getting used at all is a surprise. But, man, when they are using him and when they are getting him involved, he's catching the ball. He's actually got a 100% catch rate this season. He's 36 for 56 with 563 yards, three touchdowns, which is a little bit less than what I'm looking for. But if you look at the red zone targets, this guy is getting a lot of good red zone looks. He's getting involved in the offense a whole lot more. He's in 70% of the snaps. There's a lot of things about him that I just feel like is going to be adequate. I don't know if you remember Dante Moncrief in the season that he had for the Colts a few years back, but you could count on this guy going out there, getting you 60 yards and a touchdown, almost like clockwork. And I feel like Tim Patrick is that guy. He's going to go out there. He's going to be consistent. There was only one game recently that he didn't have more than five targets or seven targets, and that's when he got kicked out for fighting Isaiah Johnson in the fourth, and that was the garbage time. That's when Tim Patrick really kind of shines. Other than that, you know, I mean, we're talking about Nelson Aguilar and him. And so Denver for the rest of the season has New Orleans, Kansas City, Carolina, Bills, and the Chargers. We're talking about teams that are going to be shellacking the Broncos. They're always going to be playing from behind in every single one of those contests, save maybe the Bills. The Bills and them may be close because Denver does have a slightly decent defense. But those games should all be where it's a lot of garbage time, a lot of Denver being behind, and a lot of throwing the football. So I really think that Tim Patrick is going to be a guy that's going to continue the volume that he's seeing, not inconsistent volume, but very consistent volume throughout the season, and continue the rate at which he's going for you.
So Tim Patrick has been very playable for six of the last 7 weeks. I'll give you that. I was actually recommending him a couple times on the Blitz a couple weeks ago. If you played him, you were really only disappointed in week seven when he had 3 for 44 against Kansas City. That game was an absolute blowout, and the Broncos should have been throwing way more. I mean, they lost by 27 points. Why weren't they throwing the ball more? This week, the Broncos have to take on the Saints, who have a great defense. You think you can expect Drew Lock to hit the dirt over and over again. And the Saints corners shut down the passing game. You can expect that to happen against the Broncos as well. Drew Lock is horrible. He's got the worst passer rating in the league. The Saints defense should feast this week. If you're hoping for a Thanksgiving miracle, I don't know if Tim Patrick is your guy this week. All right, so let's move into final thoughts. I want to take it back to Nelson Aguilar, and I was almost done with everything I wanted to say about him, but I do want to touch on one thing that you said in your rebuttal, is that they throw when they're down, and they are a good offense. But they don't just throw when they're down. They throw when it's a high-scoring competitive game as well. Well, you know, the Falcons, they're going to Atlanta, like I said before I got, you know, cut off. That's going to be potentially a very high-scoring game. Then in Week 14, the Colts come to Las Vegas. The Colts can put up some serious points, too. Game flow favors the wide receivers in these high-scoring games, and Aguilar has been solid in high-scoring games and when they're playing catch-up as well.
And see, and again, I mean, like I said at the beginning of this thing, I mean, we're talking about Aguilar and we're talking about Tim Patrick. It's we're in week 12 of the fantasy football season. Boys, we're scraping the bottom of the damn barrel here. The only thing as an opportunity is king for me, right? And when you've got Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler being shadowed by the premier cornerbacks against every single team, I feel like that opens up a lot of opportunity for Tim Patrick. He has the by far the strong edge of the target capacity that he's had. And really, I mean, outside of two games, Nelson Aguilar hasn't had more than four targets in a game this whole entire season. The other two games, he had nine targets, which is perfect. And if he was keeping up that kind of consistency, I'd be arguing for him all day long. I just feel like Tim Patrick's going to be your more volume play, and volume is king, baby. Volume is king.
All right, guys, that is going to wrap it up for the last great debate of 2020. Now, this is the last one because, as Mike, you just said, this is week 12, right? We're at the point where we only have one more week of bye weeks, and there's only two teams on bye. I think it is it Tampa and the Panthers?
I believe so, yeah.
Who are the only two teams? Yep. That'll be in week 13. Honestly, you're not going to need to keep picking up guys off waivers. If you made the playoffs, that means your team is already good enough to be in the playoffs. You're not looking for guys to get you in after this week. So that's usually why we stop the great debates each season around week 11 or week 12, and why we won't be continuing on. But it was a lot of fun this season with all the guests we had on. Mike, I'm glad you were here on the last one, man.
Yep, like I said, we opened her up and we put her to bed, just like every single season so far. So we can just keep that a tradition, and I'll just keep showing up for it, buddy, as long as you keep inviting me.
Absolutely. Guys, you can follow us on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. I'm on there at Prof_ChrisSW. And Mike, they can get at you at DrKane21, if I'm not mistaken. No, DirtyJobs21.
At DirtyJobs21.
Yes, DrKane21 was his old one.
That was my old one. That's a good memory, though.
It's been a while since I've had Mike on the outro. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you in 2021.
Goodbye.